Hello and welcome to another episode of Science Chat, the Science Communication Podcast. I'm Sean Marshall. In this episode of Science Chat, I'm speaking to Irish astronomer and artist Deirdre Kelligan, who's involved with the universe awareness site UNAWE, which won the Science Magazine's Online Resources in Education, or SPOR Prize. Deirdre's contribution to the site was her Deadly Moons program, a program designed to encourage children's interest in astronomy by combining it with art. Firstly, Deirdre, congratulations on the award for Deadly Moons.
Thanks very much, Sean.
Maybe you could start by telling us exactly what is Deadly Moons and how this is part of your philosophy for educating children about astronomy.
Well, Deadly Moons is a drawing workshop that I put together in 2008. It's an interactive presentation for the first half hour, and the second half hour is all about the drawing. The interactive part of it is that I listen to the children. I'm telling little stories about each of the moons that I show, and I listen to the children if they've got stories to tell me about our moon, or whether they've seen it in a telescope or not, or whatever it is that strikes them or interests them about moons. And in the drawing part of it, I try to encourage them to fill their entire page, choose the moon that they like the best, because that will be the moon or the object that they will put their energies and interest into, and that will be their learning path, if you like, in the workshop. You know, all of the images that I show are from robotic space exploration, mostly. I've a sketch of my own in there. And, you know, it's a way of bringing up-to-date, real, live robotic space images straight into the classroom for young children, you know. And in my opinion, anyway, I think there really is no finer way to teach children about the wonders of our solar system than to get them to draw it.
And do you think that this enables the information that you're giving them to stay in their memory better than just if they were just reading it or had just had somebody describing it to them in a classroom?
I can actually answer that with a big yes, because during 2009 I did a lot of evaluation, you know, handing out sheets of very simple questions to the children. I think there was 6 questions on it, and there was hundreds of them filled in. They were done immediately after the work was done, so to go through them afterwards was absolutely amazing, because they, you know, they had huge recall of the names of moons that they'd never even knew existed before they walked into the workshop, you know, like Enceladus and things like that, you know, something that would be completely alien to them. But they could write down Enceladus, and they could write a little bit about it, that it was an icy moon or whatever, you know, whatever was their choice. And they had a very high retention on the features of the moon, like the terminator and the limb and craters and things like that, you know, that were common to all the moons. So I was quite delighted and quite amazed that they had such recall. So I knew the program was a cracker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I noticed from watching some of your videos on your YouTube channel as well, in the question and answer session part of it, that they really did. I mean, they were naming moons that I'd never heard of.
Yeah, did
you? I was really impressed.
Yeah. So was I. I love doing that interview afterwards. I don't often get the time to do it, but when it happens, it's terrific feedback for me and extra fun for the kids. Yeah.
And how did you get involved with the Universe Awareness site, and what's that site all about?
Well, as I said, I wrote Deadly Moons, or put the whole idea together in 2009. And I knew that the Universe Awareness for Young Children people were looking for workshops and activities for children. They were the only cornerstone project for International Year of Astronomy that was for children specifically. So I said to myself, this program I have that I've put together is working extremely well. I mean, it would be a totally really cool thing if they would like to have it for their website. So I wrote to Dr. Carolina Odman and I said, I've got this program and it's working really well, and it's, you know, it's getting a great reaction from kids. So She said, yes, absolutely, we'd love it. And then I worked with them to put it in a sort of a downloadable manner, if you like, with all the little bits and pieces, suggested dialogue, the images, the evaluation sheet, which was very important. And they kind of weaved it into their website, and it was therefore available for anybody to use, you know, which is, I think it's great. I think that website is all about, there's an awful lot of activities on it and workshops and downloads, and you can see what other people have done with their programs that they've used. And, you know, it's all very flexible. So, you know, if you've got a group of kids and you can go on there and you can find a workshop or a program or a piece of educational material that would suit the group. And if it doesn't quite suit them, you can kind of mold it and twist it and twiddle it until it does, you know. So it's and it's a global thing. It's for anybody. And I think that's very important, because universal awareness for young children was very close to my ideas and my philosophy about education, you know, about celebrating diversity and embracing astronomy, and enjoying the night sky together. You know, we're all on the one planet looking at the sky, looking at all the common things we see, like the moon, and awareness of the sun and the planets. And to bring that even in a small way to children everywhere is it's very important. It's very, very important. I really believe that small children, young children, should, right from the very start in school, be given even a tiny awareness of the fact that we're on a planet and we're moving through space, and, you know, a little bit of knowledge about what we're actually looking at goes a long way to give ourselves a sense of ourselves and a sense of caring about the planet, you know?
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you, because it's one of the first things that children notice, I mean, is that they look up and see the moon. And from a very young age, long before they even think about school, they're told what the moon is. So
that's right.
It would seem to make a lot of sense that you would start their education with regard to a relationship with the other planets and the moon and the sun at a very early age.
You know, I mean, like, little kids, you know, a lot of 7 or 8 year olds, they'd be able to tell you the names of all the dinosaurs that ever existed. And they have like a gigantic name, you know, and with maybe 14, 15 or 16 letters in the names. And, you know, and they just kind of jump into that kind of stuff because they're interested. But like astronomy is for everybody, you know, and it's for everybody from the time they can speak. If you were saying, they look at the moon, little kids look at the moon, you know. But if they could just, if there was a little piece of their day in school just given over to explaining to them what the moon is and what, you know, why is it the shape it is that particular evening or whatever, you know. Yeah. I just think it's like a no-brainer, you know what I mean? To have that little, it's almost natural knowledge, if you like, you know what I mean? But it's not dished out, you know, it's not dished out in primary school, but it should be, you know, and along with, you know, like, what is the sun and, you know, why is it hot and why is it there and, you know, all that kind of stuff, you know, and to have a realization that we on our planet would not exist if we didn't have the sun, you know, and we need the moon. And like, there's wonder in the whole thing, and children are very good at learning when there's wonder involved in anything, you know?
Yeah, and that's true as well. And I suppose that's why sites like the Universe Awareness site are so important. And I guess it must be very important for them to have achieved this recognition in being awarded the Science Magazine's Spore Prize, the Online Resources in Education.
Yeah.
Especially as Science Magazine is the journal of the American Association for Advancement of Science, which,
that's right. I mean,
that's pretty up there with regard to scientific publishing organizations in the world.
It is indeed, you know, and as regards Universe Awareness for Young Children, getting the Spore Prize as well as myself. It's a recognition of the global work carried out by hundreds of universe awareness volunteer educators in the world, all across the world on all continents. And, you know, hopefully the award will raise the profile of universe awareness for young children and help organizers in countries, you know, establish their own programs, you know. And it's also like... It's good to volunteer, you know. It's good to offer something that works to a global organization so that it can be disseminated more thoroughly than you could ever do it yourself, you know. So, like, an individual can magnify something that they produced by giving it to an organization like Universe Awareness for Young Children because, you know, obviously they have the resources and the expertise and the professionalism to put it up there and put it out there and spread it around. And I love the whole kind of the idea, you know, the global family and, you know, equality and looking up at the same sky. I think it's marvelous, you know, and I think especially with drawing workshops, the children produce something. You know, so with Deadly Moons, a lot of libraries and schools would have an exhibition of the children's work afterwards. So, you know, their peers get to see what they did and, you know, they got an extra sense of pride in their work, you know.
I suppose it must be very important for you as well to, you know, to have been part of this award, not just on a personal level, but also in terms of what you can offer and, you know, maybe raising the profile of Deadly Moons and what you are actually doing yourself with your own website.
Yeah, well, you know, drawing is just a marvelous way to learn. It's a proactive way to learn. It's kinesthetic, you know. You're doing, you're learning. Producing Deadly Moons myself then, you know, and just the feedback and the whole activity of doing that has put me into the groove, if you like, of producing other workshops that have had equal success, but maybe with a different subject, you know, like I have one called Rapid Rockets and Wicked Robots, and nearly all of my workshops are titled in a way that are street friendly, street language, and that kind of connects with children right away, you know. And I use simple language when I walk in sometimes to a group. You know, there might be 40, 50 children there. Most of the time they're a similar age group, which is fine, but sometimes they can be mixed age. So you have to adapt your language and so that everybody's included in what you're saying and you're not losing the older ones, you know, that way. So
of course, yeah.
You know, you have to be very tuned in with children and you can't be kind of dictating to them and using highfalutin language. You know, you really have to speak to them with their own language, you know, with their own street talk, you know, not to the extent of rappers or anything like that, but just that the title is welcoming and that you speak to them in a way that they can understand. And I think Deadly Moons kind of is cross-cultural, you know. And the other one I have, the robots and the rockets, also is because that's a history of space exploration through drawing. So I mean, the history of space exploration is the history of space exploration, but if you do it through drawing, then they get terribly excited about all kinds of rockets and spacecraft, you know?
Of course, for our international listeners, maybe we should just clarify exactly what deadly means.
Oh, deadly means really cool. You know, it's the complete, you know, the way it is with kids. It's so like, yeah, deadly is really cool. It's really awesome. and it really works.
Okay, you've also co-authored a book, Sketching the Moon, an astronomical artist's guide, which is due out this year. What's this book about?
Oh, well, that book is about the moon. It's about drawing the moon. And then you might say, well, why would you draw the moon? I draw the moon because I actually love doing it. It's absolutely stunning to look at the moon in my telescope. The book is a collaboration between five main authors. There's Sally Russell from the United Kingdom and myself. We're the European contingent, if you like. Richard Handy, Erica Ricks and Thomas McCaig being the American contributors. So we all draw the moon in different ways and we may use different materials. we might have a different approach. And the book covers everything from drawing the moon through binoculars, telescopes. As I say, everybody in that participated in pulling the book together has a different approach. So I think the book is very unique. The images are very strong, the drawings. It's a very motivational book. Even if you were not, if you were to buy the book and not draw the moon, there's still a lot in it to learn about the moon. Drawing it actually, it doesn't really matter at all whether you're good, bad, or indifferent at drawing. If you actually get the book and go through the step by steps and you produce something, then you have learned, you might have put half an hour into it or an hour into your drawing. You've learned an hour's worth of information that you didn't have before you started, And if you keep drawing the moon, the amount of, if you were to kind of go on a, let's say, a program of drawing the moon for 6 weeks and you did it, you did a little drawing every other week or every other month or whatever, it's not cloudy, and you built up a little bank of drawings, no matter what, level they're at, you are going to have an enormous amount of knowledge about the moon just by observing the phase of it, the shape of it, or going in and drawing a part of it, like craters or moons or mountains or whatever. The book, it has step-by-step instructions, if you like, following along for craters, maria, rills, rays, even lunar eclipses. So the five of us, we worked very hard on it. We pulled it all together, and I think people are going to be quite impressed, Pencil, pastel, ink, paint, you name it, it's all in there with loads of hints and tips. And I would say a very good narrative and interesting information about how we went about it,
Yeah, it's almost a look back at the Renaissance way of being a scientist, really. I mean, because that's what they did. They drew pictures of what they needed to understand and put it down on paper so that somebody else could see it, and they were showing other people, look, this is what I've seen through my telescope. This is
absolutely
what I've seen. This is what it looks like, and this is what it means.
That's it. Yeah, it's a way of recording what you're seeing. That's what they used to do, to record what they were seeing. And in a way, the five of us doing our drawings for the book, we were recording exactly what we see. And that is the key to it, really. If you can draw exactly what you see, don't exaggerate, don't add, don't, subtract anything. Draw exactly what you see. And I found that to be amazingly informative for myself, because I would sometimes draw something and I would be drawing the thing and I go, I wonder what on earth that is. And then I go and research it later and find out that I've drawn a dome on the moon or a rill or something that I hadn't really noticed before. And I might have only seen it because the light is perfect that particular moment, because the light changes on the moon all the time and some things are hidden and some things are revealed. It depends on the evening or, that you're observing, and the condition of the atmosphere and all kinds of things,
And of course, you're also a member of NASA's Saturn Observation Campaign. How did that come about and what does it entail?
Well, that was really that's quite an interesting story. It actually was the outreach program, if you like, that got me into outreach big time. Was already interested in the Cassini mission to Saturn, and I was kind of fishing around in the website one day looking for information, and I came across send off for a DVD called Ring World. And I said to myself, I shall do that. So Julie arrived and I thought it was brilliant. And it was a very high quality DVD about the mission, an animated thing and very well narrated. So I was delighted with it. So I wrote back to the person who sent it to me and I thanked her. And we struck up an email friendship, if you like. And Then she invited me to become part of the Saturn observation campaign, and I said, what's that? And it was an informal educational kind of outreach package, if you like, and for amateur astronomers to share the planet Saturn with the public through telescopes, or you could give a talk about it or whatever. So I kind of got into it pretty big, and I started showing Ringworld in schools and Greystones and things like that, even though we hardly had anything to show it with. You know, we were hanging the sheets in the windows and that kind of thing just to show the kids, and hundreds of kids were coming down in droves to see it. And then I did several talks in that particular school in Greystones, and after a while, I just got into writing other talks about the moon and about Galileo and all that kind of stuff that always interests me, and I just kind of poured out of me, you know what I mean? And I really got into, I even went back to college. I went to UCD to do communication so that I could speak better about what I wanted to say and say it in a better way and write and the whole lot, you know, the whole package. And that was very, very useful. So, like, being a member of the Saturn Observation Campaign, again, it was like a voluntary global outreach thing. And I absolutely adored it. And I'm still part of it, you know. And I was very, very well supported by the senior outreach specialist for the mission. Her name is Jane Houston Jones. And she, you know, would send me posters and educational material to give to schools and give to teachers and give to kids. And I just absolutely adore it, you know what I mean? But it kind of expanded me into other areas, which I'd be forever grateful to it for that, yeah.
Yeah, but it just goes to show the information is out there. People are willing to actually, you know, go look for it. And then, especially when you say that she was so generous in giving you material to show to schools, the opportunity is out there for people to actually bring this kind of information to schools. It's just a pity that we don't have many more interested volunteers like yourself that are willing to do it, really.
Yeah, I think, yeah, there is. Like, say, with Universe Awareness for Young Children's site, I mean, that's really easy to get stuff off that. JPL, NASA have massive amount of educational material on their website as well, absolutely massive. And in particular, if you kind of motivate children to you know, be interested in, say, a mission like the Cassini mission to Saturn, because they're interested in space, you can then kind of get into them, get their key, if you like, and you can get them to write. You know, you can motivate them to write something about a spacecraft. They might want to do their homework, but they'll write something about a spacecraft, you know, and they'll go and read something about a spacecraft, and they'll go and produce something. So you can, you know, really motivate children to write and read and draw. By using space exploration as the subject matter, you know? And, you know, I think that's a really cool way to do it, you know?
What other astronomy outreach projects can we look forward to from Deirdre Kelligan in the future?
Well, as I absolutely adore putting workshops together. I have a new workshop for Science Week in November. It's called Stars Are Us, all one word. And it's about the constellation Orion, and it's about the nebula in Orion, M42. And the theme for Science Week this year is the science of life. Chemistry is the science of life. And so, you know, within the nebula, there's all the elements, the ingredients, if you like, for planets and stars and star birth. The children, I'm going to show them how to draw the constellation Orion in the classroom. So they'll all end up with a map of their own constellation Orion. And we will also do a drawing of the nebula as would be seen through a telescope. You know, because we're in the daytime, we're in school, so they're not going to be able to look at the constellation or the nebula in school. But when they go home, they'd be able to stand in their garden, look at their own little drawing of it, look up in the sky and match the dots, match the pattern, and they'd be able to see the constellation Orion for themselves, and you can see M42, the nebula, with your eyes. You don't really need a telescope. And well, if they have binoculars or a telescope, that's extra good. But at least they'd be able to. It's something that they can extend into their own gardens later on. And we'll just do some simple work about the elements within the nebula. Nothing too difficult or anything like that. Maybe three elements, just so that they write down those elements on their drawing as well. So it's kind of fulfilling the theme of Science Week this year, the chemistry of life.
Yeah. And on that note, I'd like to thank you very much again for talking to me today, Deirdre.
Thank you very much, Sean.
And best of luck with that Science Week project.
Yeah, and the book is out towards the end of October, as far as I know. It's in the Springer Patrick Moore Practical Astronomy series.
Okay,
and it's available on Amazon.
Well, that's it for another episode of Science Chat. You can find out more about Deirdre and the Deadly Moons program at www.deirdrekelligan.net, where you can also find links to the essay in Science magazine. Her book Sketching the Moon is available for pre-order from Amazon now, and there are some great YouTube videos on her YouTube channel, SkySketcher1. And as usual, you can find out more about this episode and other episodes of Science Chat at www.sciencechat.net/WordPress.